It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. And what a week for politics it has been. We had Super Tuesday primaries. We also had our State of Confusion address. Yes, it's time again for our Joe Biden update. Now, while Joe Biden was in the middle of his many lies, including the lie about how Republicans, rather than he himself, Republicans are responsible for our broken border situation, GOP Congresswoman Marjorie Greene interrupted him and challenged him to say out loud the name Laken Riley. This, of course, was the name of a young woman murdered by somebody who was here in our country illegally. Biden complied. He was ready. Somebody warned him about that. He pulled out a little crib note with her name written on it and still said the name wrong, calling her Lincoln Riley. Okay, now, you know what? I'll give him that. Laken is an unusual name. Easy mistake to make. Then Biden did admit that she was killed by an illegal, and he used the word illegal. Oh, the pundits from the left were very unhappy with Joe for using the word illegal instead of undocumented worker. Is that what we've come to in our country? A woman has been murdered and our concern is to not insult the killer? I'm sure if Joe had been thinking, and thinking isn't easy for a pathological liar who is no quick draw McGraw when it comes to speed. If slow Joe had been thinking, I'm sure he would have said undocumented worker, but he was caught off guard and in a very rare moment accidentally spoke the truth. Peck was the only true thing he said in the entire message. Oh, well, give a monkey a typewriter and sooner or later he types a word. And now here's a man of many words typed and spoken. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
Well, it's Oscar night again. So what that means is I'm on your show.
That's right, folks. And I do this courtesy every year because I know we're against the Oscars. So let me just tell you what you're missing. Trump sucks. Trump sucks. Trump sucks. I'd like to thank the Academy. And by the way, if you vote in Donald Trump, it'll be the end of democracy. Never mind that he was already our president for 4 years and democracy did not end. But yes, the Oscars are on right now, even as we speak.
Yes. And so seems to be a tradition. Now, a few words from my part about shows like this. I quit watching award shows years ago. I got tired of listening to people who believe in moral relativism, yet pontificate about their values. I got tired of millionaires ranting about oppression and privilege. I got tired of people who arrive in private jets telling me to drink through a paper straw while I drive an electric car that runs on a battery produced by strip mining, which destroys entire ecosystems and are neither biodegradable nor easily or inexpensively recycled. And that's how I feel about award shows.
Careful, Jim. You're going to be very unpopular over the internet. They're going to make a meme out of you because you're speaking the truth, and you're not supposed to do that. They've already pillaged that poor Republican woman who's running for Senate who gave the opposing view of Biden, and she did a fantastic job, and every word she spoke was true, which, of course, is the problem with the left.
Yeah, and they ripped her. Oh, they ridiculed her.
They ridiculed her like crazy.
Yeah, we've talked about the double standards, the hypocrisy, and you'll see more than you really want if you watch an award show like the Oscars, the Academy Awards. Now, I understand that pro-Palestine protesters caused a delay of the program, which is already too long.
At the Oscar program, they also caused a delay at the State of the Union address.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it was a peaceful demonstration. It was not insurrection.
Oh, of course not. It's only insurrection when conservatives protest.
Yeah. By the way, back to that electric vehicle thing. This is a hobby horse of mine. I'm so fed up with these commercials about EVs, and they're just pushing them. And the truth is, many of the companies now are realizing it's a bad deal, and they're losing money, and they're stopping production on electric vehicles. But they're going to save the environment if you drive an electric car, which is really a joke, as I talked about the batteries and their production.
Well, not only that, they're finding out it gives out a different kind of pollution with particulate matter in it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Every time somebody thinks they found the new hope, it's like Twilight Zone. There's an ironing at the end. Now, I did a little research, and as far as CO2 emissions, the United States, China, India, Russia, and Japan are responsible for over half of the CO2 emissions in the world. So why don't these environmentalists go after those other countries? Why don't they go over and demand that China and Russia cease polluting?
Because the moment Biden makes that demand of China, whatever goods they have on him, whatever string they're pulling him on with the bribes and the money he's taken, will be publicly disclosed.
Yeah,
as if we don't more or less know already, but it'll be more publicly exposed, I should say.
Yeah, I'm a borderline conspiracy theorist. There's a lot of things that I'm suspicious of, and I'm not easily trusting, especially when it comes to the government and big institutions and corporations. But I really think Joe has been in bed with China for a long time. And I think just what you said, I think if he ever does attack them verbally, they'll blow the whistle on him and say, hey, buddy, you're guilty.
He's been in bed with China for a long time, and his son Hunter has been in bed with everybody for a long time.
Well, but they can't touch Bill Clinton.
Mr. President, what is your opinion of Rwanda? Rwanda? I don't think I've met her.
Yeah, that's about the size of it. Anyway, there's so much hypocrisy. I'm just tired of everybody pushing this agenda. Whatever it is, the EV thing, a while back it was the vaccine, and now it's the LGBTQ LMNOP agenda. I've seen a meme going around, and it says, rest in peace, white couples in commercials in America. Have you noticed that? Any TV commercials? It's always a mixed couple or some sort of, you never see a white couple.
Or oftentimes a homosexual couple.
Yeah,
you're just barely seeing any heterosexual couple of any color anymore.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with mixed race marriages. I have to say that because I have three grandchildren who are half Afro-American. I have to use the politically correct term. And a great grandchild who's one quarter Afro-American and 50% Hispanic. So, you know, I don't...
But not having a problem with it and believing in equality for everybody, that's one thing. When it's obligatory, when it reaches a point where they're afraid to even make a couple white anymore, then we have a problem of racism on the other side.
Yeah, and extreme bias in the media and the major television networks. So there you go. Now, back to the Oscars, and Brendan can probably update me with this, but the last count. Oppenheimer has already lost five of the categories it was nominated in.
And probably, you know, because that was one of the few good movies nominated this year.
Well, I was concerned because it was nominated for 13 awards, and the record is 11, held by Ben-Hur, Titanic.
11 is the record of awards won. As far as nominations we've had 13 and way more than 13 nominations for certain films.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I don't want anybody to break that record. It was hard enough for me when Titanic won.
Titanic broke it, and then The Return of the King in the trilogy of the Lord of the Rings, they also won 11 awards.
Yeah, but Ben-Hur was probably my favorite. I did like the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy, but so is there an update there, Brendan? Do you know, have you been to look that up? Or?
Yeah, so far you're right. It's still six. And it's lost to The Holdovers, which I think is not that bad of a movie.
I haven't seen it. Yeah, neither do I know anything about it.
It's on Peacock. The one I absolutely think it's horrendous because it's just pushing a liberal point of view is American Fiction. It lost to. I hate that movie. It was so tedious to sit through. And then lastly, it's also losing to Poor Things and a lot of other categories.
I used to love the Oscars. I was a drama major in college. The arts are my thing. I'm a writer. I've been in a lot of plays. I used to look forward. I'm just so indifferent to them now. Aside from Oppenheimer, which I haven't even seen, but I heard was good, I wasn't even aware of what was nominated this year. That's how uninterested. The last couple of years, I didn't even watch them. I am recording them tonight. I'm going to put them on for a while, but Jimmy Kimmel. I'm just so sick and tired of him. He used to be a funny guy, but now it's just blasting Donald Trump every other word.
Yeah.
He already blasted the Republican woman that gave the rebuttal to the State of the Union address.
Yeah. One more reason for me to not watch. Of course, I'm on this show, so I have my priorities.
That's true. Now, even if I still like them, I wouldn't be watching them because I would be here.
And can I just say one more thing? I think it's kind of lame that Best Original Score, Indiana Jones, and we got nominated because, I mean, they just reuse his theme song over and over.
Well, John Williams will put new stuff in the latest one, too. But as far as the original theme, it's the same. And the latest Indiana Jones movie wasn't that bad, but I say that because the one before it was so horrible. It was a very low bar.
I disagree. I liked Crystal Skull. I think it was very good.
Oh, my God.
We can have a debate later.
It sucked raw eggs with two straws.
You kids today.
It made Temple of Doom look good, and that was no easy
task. Temple of Doom was fantastic. That's my favorite one out of all.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Now, I'm not a big John Williams fan. I think he's the second greatest plagiarist of our time, Led Zeppelin leading the way.
What are you saying that John Williams plagiarized? That's the first I've heard of that.
Oh, man, look it up. First of all, the first time I saw that movie and they're playing the Darth Vader theme, I heard Mars from the Planets by Holtz. And if you listen to it, he stole the thing completely.
Okay, well, I'll go back and listen to that. I had never realized this before.
Dvorak had a symphony, and the opening of it is Jaws. It's just the same thing.
You're talking about the New World Symphony. I think I realize the movement you're talking about. That's true. It is kind of similar.
Yeah. And there's a whole lot of other things. He wrote the thing for the Olympics years ago, and he stole it from Fanfare for a Common Man by Aaron Copland. So he's a pleasure.
Oh, boy. Well, I have enjoyed the music of John Williams up to this moment, but you're making me rethink I must say.
It's good music. But
you're saying it was good music before he wrote it, too.
Yeah. And there's been cases in pop music.
Okay, it reminds me of a line from Jimmy Durante. Somebody was singing him a new song, and it was Singing in the Rain, which was already an old song. And the guy was acting like he was composing it at the piano. He says, this'll give them something to remember. The guy goes, yeah, I remember it already. Okay, on that note, you're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. We'll be right back.
Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
Some more beautiful.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
To 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. Always good to be joined by my friend, Jim Barrier.
And here we are. Now, the award for the best science fiction fantasy feature goes to Joe Biden for his State of the Union address.
You know, seldom do you see anybody that evil and that incredibly stupid at the same time. Usually an evil person knows what they're doing to be good at their evil. Joe is such a bumbling idiot, and yet he is pure evil at the same time. Sorry, folks. Maybe some of you out there like him, but I'm just going to call it like it is.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that there is somebody behind the curtain pulling his string.
Oh, absolutely.
He doesn't seem confident enough to have a conversation, make a statement.
They pumped him up on something the other night and had him rehearse probably for 3 weeks in front of the teleprompter. But did you notice how he bumbled and stumbled the second he got off script?
Constantly, yeah. And so, he's not clever enough to be that nefarious. Did I say that right? But I think he is a part of a system that is very, very evil. Just like the author. The State of the Union is kind of summed up in this. Everything that is bad in the country right now is Donald Trump's fault, you know, or the Republicans. But everything is Trump's fault. Only he didn't have the respect to even refer to a former president by his name. He just kept saying, my predecessor. And it goes back to the kind of disrespect that Nancy Pelosi had. Remember the time when she tore up the script when Trump was giving the State of the Union?
Yeah, that was a disgrace, an absolute disgrace.
It was embarrassing, it was a disgrace, and it was a lack of respect for the position. Even if you don't like the man, even if you don't agree with him, he is the president. He was. And Joe is the president. So I don't wish any harm to Joe. But he wouldn't even say the guy's name. He is former president of the United States, Donald Trump. I hope that maybe someday he'll be president again. I don't have a lot of hope. I will probably vote for him, but
I have a lot of hope that he will be if it's a fair election, but ask me how much hope I have that it's going to be a fair election. That's a whole different story.
What do you think has changed in 4 years?
Very little. Yeah. However, it is true, and I know my friend Mike Friedenberg, who's more optimistic about this, he'll say that the more of a landslide that Trump gets, the harder it is for them to cheat.
Yeah.
Because they did try to cheat in 2016, too, but Trump just came in on such a landslide, he was breaking their machines that had these algorithms in it. So we'll see. It is possible. And I sure hope so.
Yeah. I've thought of that, too, that if he wins by so overwhelmingly, which he has so far in the primaries, it'll be very, very hard if he wins like that in the real election. And there are more watchdogs now, because last time I think we were blindsided. I went to bed thinking he's got it. I get up in the morning and find out he lost.
Well, the only problem is we had watchdogs last time too, and they went to the courts, and the courts would not even hear the cases. So the problem is it's going to come down to the courts again, and it's really going to depend on who the judge is, whether the judge has a conscience, whether the judge has a fear of God.
Yeah, there are some of those out there. Most of them are in my state.
There's a few of them, I think, can be found in the Smithsonian Museum, the few that are left.
That's true. Yeah. Back to the State of the Union. I like that you pointed out the thing about Marjorie Taylor Greene and that exchange, and then Biden calling her Lincoln Riley. And, yeah, okay, we'll give him, you know, it could have just been a flub. Anybody could make a mistake. George Bush used to do that all the time. He used to misremember.
We all misspeak. It's just Biden does it 24/7. That's the difference. But obviously, I misspeak on the air all the time. We all do it.
Yeah. And one of the people that immediately responded was Nancy Pelosi. Ho, ho.
I was a little bit disappointed that he used the word illegal, but we'll give him that.
He should have said undocumented, she said.
So we're more worried about what we call the killer than we are about consoling the parents of the victim.
Well, and that wasn't the thing that stuck in my craw. After all that, after he fumbles all of that, it was already an insult enough to mispronounce her name, even if it was a mistake. I'm sure her parents felt terrible about that. And then he says, but how many thousands of people are killed by legals? Somehow diminishing the tragedy and sidestepping the issue. This guy,
it would be simply impossible for him to ever take responsibility for anything. And this bipartisan bill that he says the Republicans won't pass, all he has to do is take out a pen and rescind the executive orders of Donald Trump that he canceled and bring them back, rescind the cancellation. That's all he has to do. But he's not going to do that, because the moment he does that, he's admitting that he could have done that for the last 3 years and admitting that this is his fault.
Yeah. And should Mr. Trump win the election, I suspect he'll do something similar. He'll go back and change those things back to the way he wanted it 4 years ago, you know, 7 years ago, however long ago, when he made policies. And then Biden, you know, remember when he was running last time, he said anybody who has to govern by executive action is a dictator. Remember that?
Oh, they all say that until they sign the executive action themselves. But here's where a president is allowed executive action. If the Constitution has already made something his responsibility, such as the responsibility to protect our country from invaders, protect our country at the borders, then he can come up with executive orders to carry it out. What he can't do is pass laws that were meant for Congress to pass with an executive order. So Biden has this whole thing flipped on its head.
Yeah, he does. So he did so much damage in the first month that we hit the slippery slope and there was no turning back.
And for a guy that talks about how Trump is going to endanger democracy, this is the guy that weaponizes the FBI and the Justice Department. This is the guy that puts parents of kids who've been raped in bathrooms on terror watch lists and people that protested an abortion clinic in jail. This is a guy that wanted Trump off of the ballot and is trying to get him arrested like they do in banana republics. And he's got the unmitigated gall to lecture us on democracy. And he opens his speech by talking about how it's just like World War II. The world was in threat. Democracy was in threat from abroad. And today it's a threat from abroad. And then he goes on and he starts talking about Donald Trump, not using the name, but we all know who he was talking about.
Yeah, my predecessor, he kept saying. The irony is, I think there are a lot of similarities in our world and World War II, pre-World War II, the rise of the Third Reich and Hitler.
Yeah, we're seeing a rise of a Third Reich here in our country, but it's not coming from the GOP.
No. But it's just, you know, and I always used to think, how could a whole nation of people be so deceived? How did good German people buy into that and follow that? And now I'm starting to understand how that can happen. I never thought I'd see it in my life.
Well, you start with the economy and you say the problem is the rich people have money that should belong to you. The only difference was that in Germany, it was the rich Jews that have money that belonged to you. You get people concerned about their pocketbooks and you can do anything.
Now, isn't that ironic? Because there's so many rich celebrities that are maybe not so much pro-Biden, but anti-Trump, and they're liberal And I don't see any of them wanting to give up all their money yet.
No, in fact, they've actually done studies of Republican politicians as opposed to Democratic politicians, people that are conservative as opposed to liberal. And conservatives are much more generous in the money they voluntarily give. But like we always say, the Democrats are very generous with other people's money. And that's why they're always talking about taxes. Yeah. And I'm watching the State of the Union address, and I'm going, boy, if he uses the phrase pay your fair share one more time, I think I'm going to lose it. Well, speaking of losing it, we're going to lose it for a break. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and now it's time for our show within a show. Yes, another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
Hello, Jim. How are we doing tonight? Besides a lot of ranting, I hear you guys are fuming in there, so I thought I'd cool it down. Okay. I think I got you in this one. I think I have thrown the biggest curveball, and there's no way you're going to hit it out of the park. I'm confident. Here we go. 1966.
I don't know. That's within his era, 66.
Yeah. I feel very confident. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, you're kidding me.
Oh, no way. You got this already?
Let it play.
You might wake up some morning to the sound of something moving past
you
your
ready?
Window.
Go ahead.
It is the bright, elusive butterfly of love by Bob Lind. Would that be right?
That's correct. Oh, man. I thought I got him on that.
You sounded so cocky when you said he wasn't going to get it.
I know.
I just knew he would.
You may see the floating motion of a distant
I'm older than you.
And if the sleep has left your ears, you might hear footsteps running through an open meadow. Don't be concerned, it will not harm you. It's only me pursuing something I'm not sure of.
I must confess, this one was never one of my favorites, but Jim, I'm still very happy for you that you got it.
Well, I try, and Brandon tries. That really wasn't a song.
It's a little more obscure than some of the 60s songs, so I can see why he thought he had you nailed there.
Yeah. And when you hear it, people hear it and go, oh, yeah, I remember that song.
I recognized it. I wouldn't have known the artist, though.
Yeah. Really more of an easy-listening pop kind of thing. This is when there's a lot of folk music still on the scene. And, of course, in that era, right around then, 65, 66 in there, anything goes. You could get on the radio, on the hit parade, rock and roll, Motown music, folk music, country music, just about anything goes. And so it was really a very eclectic time musically. So
yeah, Jim, speaking of the era you grew up in, I always forget, did your dad fight for the North or the South? I just don't have that down.
Actually, he was stationed on Guam in World War II.
Oh, okay. There you go.
There you go. Okay, well, that was good. Any updates on the Oscars, Brendan?
Oppenheimer did win a couple of categories already. Robert Downey Jr. won for Best Supporting Actor. And
he is a good actor. I do like Robert Downey Jr.
I will also mention that The Anatomy of a Fall won for Best Original Screenplay, but Oppenheimer wasn't nominated for that. But it did win Best Cinematography, which...
Any scoreboard on how many anti-Trump jokes?
So far, I think we have 3 on the board.
Okay. Like I said, I only heard that one about the woman that gave the rebuttal before I left for the studio. The others are all predictions, but they're very easy predictions.
Well, I really thought that it would be dominated this year by The Killer of the Barbieheimer Moon.
Well, Barbie was nominated for a lot. I don't know how many it's winning, but it got a lot. Apparently, it's because it's a new woke Barbie, not because it's the traditional Barbie.
That's the way everything is going these days, but probably won't see Barbie.
Can you imagine them trying to sell Barbie as an idea for today's Hollywood without saying we're going to completely reinvent her and make her woke?
That would
have been an impossibility.
So anyway, I don't think I or my sister owned any Barbie dolls. I didn't even have G.I. Joe. I had those little green plastic army guys. You know, remember those?
I'm just remembering a line from Cheers where Sam was at somebody's house and the daughter had this Barbie collection, just tons and tons. He goes, boy, a G.I. Joe would have a great time in this closet.
Oh, man. All right. Folks, I'd like to apologize for my friend Bob.
Well, just a Hollywood from yesteryear.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe we can get back to some... That was fun. Okay, and that was a great effort, so keep on trying. I have fun. It's my wife's favorite part of the show. Okay, now, I got to regroup here. Go back to, the State of the Union. Here's the truth. The State of the Union is that it's in worse shape than it's ever been in my lifetime, and everybody seems to know it, except for the president.
Yeah, we were all supposed to be shaking and pulsating, and then when he says the State of the Union is good, we were going to go, for a moment there, Joe, I was really concerned.
Yeah. So he really didn't give a State of the Union other than, you know.
He gave a campaign speech. He gave a campaign speech, and he was trying to bring the left back into his party because he's been under criticism even from them because he's not hard enough on Israel. He's been horrible to Israel, but not horrible enough for the extreme left. So he wasn't even trying to get the moderates and the independents. It was like a campaign speech to get the nomination from the left.
Yeah, it really was. It was a campaign speech, and it looks to me, you know, and I have said different things on the show here about what I think is going to happen, but I think time is running out. And it looks like Joe is going to be the Democratic nominee. No matter how hard they try to ban him, it looks like Donald Trump is going to win the Republican nomination.
Well, that will happen with Trump. I'm not as sure about Joe. I still think it's possible they'll drag Michelle Obama in at the last minute.
Well, they could. They could do any number of things. Now, Super Tuesday, as you mentioned, Donald Trump is just killing it. In this state, he won overwhelmingly. And I think he may already have enough electoral votes.
No, the last I heard, he needed a little more than Super Tuesday, but he's very close.
Yeah, he's very close. And if those two run against each other again, the Democrats have no hope to win the election fairly.
And they won't debate him. They're already dropping these platitudes about, well, if Donald Trump changes his demeanor, maybe we'll debate him. If he wises up, maybe. They know that without his cue cards and teleprompter, which he won't have in a debate, Biden would just get massacred. Trump would mop up the floor with his face.
Yeah, I don't expect a debate. And the truth is, for most people, I think their minds are already made up on both sides. Both sides. The country is in a mess. The economy's a mess. The border's a mess. But there's still this rip down the middle of our society, and it's people that love Trump and people that hate Trump. The people that love him love what he did. I have an awful lot of friends that are conservative, that are diehard Republicans, and they really don't like Donald Trump's personality and some of his tactics, but they like what he produced as the president. And
the problems with the personality are understandable, but you got to look at the guy's policies and compare it to the Nazi policies we're living under right now.
Yeah, and the truth is, in history, Nixon wasn't great on the camera. LBJ, he was. I know people who worked under his administration, and the stories are horrendous. You know, so there's nothing new about people that are not easy to deal with being in power and running for office. There's been a lot of scoundrels out there, we'll say. And we had all the stories, the womanizing by Clinton, even JFK. Probably an awful lot of presidents have had things going on that the public wasn't aware of, and all of those things. But we kind of overlooked those things. You know, I mean, Clinton got reelected. So I think it has more to do with policy and the effects of a person in office. The problem is, can we have a fair election? That's the question for me. Can they pull off a fair election? And
The last election wasn't fair, we're insurrectionists, but I guarantee if Trump wins this election, they are going to scream unfair election for the next 4 years, just like they screamed unfair election between 2016 and 2020. Okay, Jim, hold with me for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, "What?" By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
So now, you may remember a few years ago, we had a little exchange, almost a debate. And so I was to represent the state of Texas and you represented California. We talked about the pluses and minuses of living in each
I can't
of those
remember
states.
Ever thinking of one plus for California over Texas other than the fact that we have redwood trees.
Well, beaches and Mexican food.
that's true. And then we have better Mexican food here than Texas.
It stops there. So I just wanted to give you a little idea, again, about some of the differences. Here in Texas, in the primaries, we were part of Super Tuesday, and I had already voted. I always vote early. Conservative candidates dominated in the Republican primaries. In fact, some Rhino incumbents were ousted by newcomers because people who are true conservatives, Republicans, are tired of voting for people who turn around and represent the opposite views of what they ran on. So we had quite a red wave here in this state. And then this one just really grabbed me. And I'm just going to read some of this. On the ballot, there were Republican propositions that if they passed, then they will go on the November ballot for everybody to vote on. But the Republicans, on the Republican ballots, these were some of the propositions. And I just want to read these to you. This is going to sound very strange to those of you living in California, I think. Here's proposition number two. Texas should create border protection unit and deploy additional state law enforcement and military forces to seal the border, to use physical force to prevent illegal entry and trafficking, and to deport illegal aliens back to Mexico or their nation of origin. That was on our ballot. I put it yes.
Yeah, to the left, that just sounds horrendous. But when our Democratic Congress wants to vote money to build a wall in Tunisia, then that's quite all right.
That's quite all right. Here's one. Proposition three. Texas legislature should require the use of E-Verify by all employers in Texas to protect jobs for legal workers, preventing the hiring of illegal aliens. That's a good one. Proposition four. The Texas legislature should end all subsidies and public services, including in-state college tuition and enrollment in public schools for illegal aliens. Oh, man, that's hardcore.
Sounds good to this Californian.
Yeah, it won overwhelmingly on the Republican ballot. Proposition 5, Texas urges the United States Congress not to grant any form of amnesty or pathway to legalization for illegal aliens. That one's going to be a tough sell, but I voted yes. Proposition 8, the state of Texas should ensure that Texans are free to give or to withhold consent for any vaccine without coercion.
Good
oh,
for
man.
Them.
That's controversial. Again, I voted yes. Proposition 10, the Texas Constitution should be amended to restore authority to the Texas Attorney General, apparently it was taken away at one point, to prosecute election crimes. Proposition 11, Texas parents and guardians should have the right to select schools, whether public or private, for their children, and the funding should follow the student. I really love that one. Proposition 12, the Texas Constitution should be amended to require proof of citizenship before any individual can be registered to vote. Seems reasonable.
It's too much sense. You make sense like that now, and they're going to call you a Nazi.
No, they call you a Texan. And the final one, Proposition 13, Texas should ban the sale of Texas land to citizens, governments, or entities from China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia.
I like the boy. You know, China is buying up farmland all over our country, not just Texas.
Yeah, they own most of your state. They own an awful lot in Washington, D.C., but that's product for another show. Anyway, that's a taste of how the conservatives in Texas want to see us governed. I'm very proud to live in this state. I was born and raised in San Diego, and I'm a third-generation San Diego native. But I'm happy where I'm living at, and I'm much more in line with the people that are running the show out here. And I love our governor, Governor Abbott. He's going toe-to-toe with Biden and D.C. As basically, he said, if you come and cut down our fences, we'll put new ones up. And I just love it. He's taking a stand. And I think he has the backing of Texas people. Certainly, ranchers along the border, it's well documented. They're furious. that this invasion is taking place, because a lot of the border areas, the crime goes up, the abuse, the littering, all kinds of stuff. So at this point, still, Texas, I would say, is a conservative state, and it's a stronghold for freedom and love of our country and the values that this country was built on. And I'm very happy to be living here, and I feel represented by many of the people who are running the show here and people that I voted for. So, however, here's a plug. I would vote for Steve Garvey if I lived out there. You know Steve Garvey, the baseball player?
Oh, when the choice is between him and Adam Schiff, there's nothing to even think about. Yeah. Yeah, I did vote for him in the primary that we just had.
Well, I love Steve Garvey for many reasons. He afforded me the singly greatest exciting moment I attended in a sports event. In 1984, he hit a home run to win game four of the series against the Cubs and take it to a game five, and they went on to play in the World Series. And I loved him for that. But he's also a neighbor of my sister-in-law. They live in the same neighborhood. She knows him well. Someday I'll meet him if he's ever in town when I'm out there. But I would vote.
You know how they campaigned against him? The whole campaign against Garvey was he voted for Donald Trump and supported Donald Trump. And I'm sitting here saying, guys, you're giving me a reason to want to vote for him. Although, frankly, anybody running against Adam Schiff, I would have preferred anybody. Man. He didn't have to be somebody as good as Steve Garvey.
No, but I love Steve. He's a good guy. Adam Schiff. Years ago on Facebook, I posted a picture of him and Andy Kaufman next to each other, and it was frightening with the eyes bugging out there. Anyway, so maybe you can clean up that state. I don't know if it's too little too late, but I would vote.
It's not going to get too clean if we send Adam Schiff in as a senator after the monstrous job he did as a congressman.
Oh boy. Yeah, so there you go. That's the thing. Now, to wrap up here, I don't know how much time we've got here.
We're winding down.
Okay. In church this morning, the preacher spoke in the Beatitudes, and he emphasized the last two things that Jesus said in the Beatitudes, which is found in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. And he said two things. He said, "Blessed are you if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and blessed are you if you are persecuted for my name's sake." And that's two things. You can be persecuted just for doing the right thing or standing for the right thing, and you can be persecuted for representing Jesus Christ. And I always used to think that only happens in other countries, and it is happening right now. I just read this week that Russia is targeting evangelicals and pastors and Christians in Ukraine.
There is. Gee, that's funny, because the Biden Justice Department is targeting the same group.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that there is persecution in our country, but we're not being killed. We're not having our heads cut off at this point. But there is pressure. You can lose a job, or you can not get a promotion. You can be shunned by your peers. And I think that it's something more and more and more that Christians need to be willing to face, and not just suck it up and say, "Oh, well, I'll suffer for Jesus." No, Jesus said you're blessed if these things happen. I just wanted to encourage people out there that if you suffer some hardship for standing for righteousness or standing for Jesus, you're blessed. In God's economy, in his kingdom, he looks at you and says, "You're blessed, my child, and I will meet whatever need you have. I will protect you." And always remember this, folks. As much as we talk on this show about the country and what's good or bad for the country, ultimately this world is not our home. If you have committed your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a life that will go way beyond this mere shadow, this vapor, the scripture calls it. You have a life for eternity in the presence of God, and never lose sight of that fact.
Okay, Jim.
Do everything you can. Yeah.
We're going to have to leave it on that note, because we are out of time, but that leaves us on a good optimistic note, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Okay.